We are listening to the cycling podcast at the Giro d'Italia in association with Rafa. Today we are in Olbia.
Cozze ci tene, cozze, cozze vicine, non spigudeci ora, non spigudeci ora. Cozze ci tene, cozze, cozze vicine, non spigudeci ora, se lo mangiano le femmine.
L'inserimento dell'uomo del team Bora che è rimasto davanti. Attenzione, siamo allo sprint conclusivo e l'uomo della Bora incredibilmente riesce a chiudere bene. Sente un corridore austriaco che gli prende i colori di Bora Hansgrohe, Lukas Postelberger.
Still have goosebumps, yeah.
Was it a plan or was it instinct?
No, I mean the plan was to ride for Sam. I have not seen the footage on the TV, so I don't know what happened then. Normally he should do the second last man as a lead out, so something happened. I hear Sam shouting in the radio, go, 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 and then it was clear. So our big goal was to get one stage win in these 3 weeks, yeah, after Leopold not being here. So we achieved it on the first day, though.
Hello, my name is Richard Moore with Daniel Freeb.
Hello, Rich.
And Lionel Burney. Ciao, Lionel. Lionel.
Hang on a sec. Sorry.
Lionel.
I'm busy, Rich. I'm busy.
Come on. Oh, my God. He's had his nose in that album all day.
I've got my Panini sticker album from the Giro, and I have not faked this because it's impossible to know what stickers are in the envelopes. First packet, first rider, Lukas Postelberger.
No,
absolutely.
I actually saw him sneak a little peek and look like the cat that got the cream. And there is stage winner. We were played in there by his direct sportif at Bora Hansgrohe.
Who said Lukas, you weren't a lucky man, Lionel?
Lukas Postelberger, the winner, the surprise winner. Well, I say surprise. I mean, you might remember, chaps, I tipped him in the car as we were driving over to finish in Olbia today.
I don't remember
Guy we were discussing earlier. Nobody else talking about Postelberger.
We talked about that last kilometre. We said this is perfect for Postel. This has got Postelberger written all over it.
Yeah, you two might have been nodding off at the time, admittedly, but I definitely tipped him as a candidate for today's stage. I just thought it definitely was going to fall to him. But it was a surprise win for everybody else.
It was.
Who's not been paying attention to cycling.
I think Napalm, you were at the CCC, the Polish team's bus, weren't
Lionel
you?
Lionel wants more credit for this.
I know, they were quite surprised, weren't they? Weren't they sort of almost in hysterics?
Well, they found it very amusing. That was Marcin Białobocki's teammates, and they all got back to the finish there and asking each other who won. And when somebody said it was Postelberger, they were... Basically, yeah, they were in hysterics. Not quite sure why.
Postelberger, a carpenter, we learned in the press conference there. But Lionel, it wasn't a hugely eventful stage today. Day one of the Giro d'Italia. I don't know if I've mentioned that, but we're at the Giro d'Italia and we're on Sardinia. And can you give us a brief tale of the tappa?
I can, but first, I mean, I think these stickers are going to be like tea leaves.
Oh, because Thibaut Pinot.
Thibaut Pinot was also in the first packet
friend
open.
Of the podcast.
So I'm going to stick €50 on him to win the Giro now, just on the basis of that.
Steve Morabito, I see you've got there as well. Steve Morabito, of course, a domestique deluxe of Thibaut Pinot. The Morabitos are one of the nastiest mafia families in the south of Italy. They are probably the worst of all mafia families. Or the Ndrangheta from Calabria, where we're going on Monday. So hopefully Steve's family are not out in force.
But Steve, I don't think they're related.
Think they're related, but it's quite a common name in that part of Italy.
Yeah, not like Steve. That was
no.
Strange.
Well, anyway, there we are.
Tale of the tappa, please.
You mean, should I put my sticker album away until tomorrow?
For the moment.
Okay. Yeah, so the opening stage of the 2017 Giro d'Italia, the 100th edition of the race. Here we are in Sardinia having a Sardinian beer. It's been a lovely day, if not a fantastic race, in terms of, it wasn't really antipasti even, was it? It was more breadsticks and olive oil. You know, it's whetted the appetite, but I'm looking forward to the main course. The stage was 206 kilometres from Alghero to Olbia. Five riders lit it up. Cesare Benedetti of Bora Hansgrohe, was the first to start the winning, well, it wasn't the winning move, but the main move of the race. Pavel Brut of Gazprom, Marcin Bialablocki of CCC, Uger Zupa of Willia Trestina, who are now Willia Sella Italia, and Daniel Tekla Hymenot, the Eritrean champion of Dimension Data. They were away most of the day, nearly all of the day, never really got much of a lead above 3 minutes or so. Bialablocki was the first to get dropped from the group on one of the climbs. The other four lasted till 3.7 kilometres to go. And then there were those two 90-degree right-hand corners that really shaped the finale of the race. The first one caused the second half of the peloton all to come to a stop. The second one is where Lucas Postelberger got the gap, and he put his head down and he went for it. He was there trying to lead out Sam Bennett, his teammate. But Postelberger's taken the pink jersey, the stage, the Ciclamino jersey as points leader. The white jersey is best young rider. And his teammate, Benedetti, has the King of the Mountains.
What about the Pirelli descending prize? Did you take that?
Whoa. The Pirelli descending prize didn't happen and wasn't scheduled to happen today anyway. Stephen Kruiswijk of Lotto NL Jumbo, pink jersey holder last year, fourth overall last year. He lost 13 seconds, presumably as a result of that hold-up. I think Pierre Rolland also lost 18 seconds, but overall, very little to report. Well, but there we are.
Well, I mean, that very dicey 90-degree corner came at about 3.2 kilometres from the line, which I thought was a brave or foolhardy move by the organisers, just outside the line.
The no-fly zone.
I mean, there was a recipe for disaster, and if anything happened there, you were gonna lose time. So that seemed surprising that it was just at that particular point.
This is something that's not really been talked about in the build-up to the race. Lots been made of how many contenders there are here for the pink jersey and the Maglia Rosa. What we haven't really dwelt on is what this means for the flat stage and the sprint finishes. You know, we've seen in the last few years how GC contenders and their teams have sort of stampeded towards the front of the bunch on flat days to get safely inside that last 3 kilometres. And you would imagine that there will be a bit of chaos on the sprint finishes, in the sprint finishes. Having said that, I think the penalties here at the Giro aren't quite as severe because there are so many stages where you can make up time. So 13 seconds, Kruiswijk losing 13 seconds is not a huge deal, is it?
I think it was a welcome breath of fresh air, a rider like Postelberger winning in the way that he did. I thought in the press conference it was nice to see a rider not used to winning really enjoying the win. You know, I could have imagined Andre Greipel, a nice enough fellow, but he sat through hundreds of these press conferences and here was a guy genuinely overjoyed. I must say, a winner of the RAS a couple of years ago, Postelberger.
He was indeed, yeah. And the other thing is, one of pretty much 25 or 26 riders who exist in the shadow of Peter Sagan. Mm. And Sagan has had a decent spring, but not a stellar spring. He won Kerner Brussels Kerner and a couple of stages in Tirreno, one stage in Tirreno. But this is the biggest win that Bora Hansgrohe have had this season so far. And, you know, when you look at their lineup and you look, maybe Sam Bennett might have a chance on stages like this. Perhaps Benedetti, of course, is, you know, good on this sort of terrain. But they're all very much in Sagan's shadow. And for them to come out absolutely, you know, blazing on day one, they really took the race on because it was all planned in a way, wasn't it? Benedetti got in that move, looking for the King of the Mountains jersey, got that. Sam Bennett was well placed. And from Postelberger's press conference, we gather that Bennett was straight on the radio saying go, 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 when he realised, presumably sooner than Postelberger, that the Austrian rider had the gap.
It was a very good assist, wasn't it?
Great assist. And, you know, there was a bit of luck involved because it was a technical finish that some of the sprinters' teams seemed to lay off a little bit and maybe underestimated Postelberger. But very, very strong ride. You know, you don't see that very often, a rider attacking like that. You see it with Yelena Naidoo in the 80s. Brad McGee
Finney
has
Sir.
Done it.
First use of Finney Sir.
Ekimov has done that before. But there aren't many riders who can just clip off a rampaging bunch like that.
I think you got it exactly right, Rich. He was underestimated because you imagine if, well, in days gone by, if Fabian Cancellara or someone with a big reputation for doing that kind of thing had gone off, then everyone would have been alert to it. But Postelberger is someone with a great record in time trials, particularly as a junior and amateur. And he's capable of that. But I don't think they reacted quickly enough, did they?
the other thing is the sprinters, Caleb Ewan second, Andre Greipel third, Giacomo Nizzolo fourth, and then, I mean, Sascha Modolo was up there in the top 10 somewhere, but it's not a stellar field of sprinters, is
Gaviria.
It? And therefore,
Gaviria is the top man who I expected to be winning today and was nowhere, perhaps because the win wasn't at stake, but I expected Gaviria to be the guy today.
Yeah, and the sprinters' trains weren't anything like the same level that you would see at the Tour de France, and that was possibly a factor. There weren't enough bodies to get organised quickly enough and close that gap.
What about you, chaps? Worried about Kruiswijk?
Well, we're going to hear from Kruiswijk.
We are going to hear from him because he is carrying some injuries into this Giro from last week in Yorkshire. I saw him crash very heavily on the first stage in Yorkshire, and then, of course, he didn't ride the last stage, and there was talk this week that he was suffering, couldn't breathe very well. So I spoke to him yesterday at the team presentation to see how he was doing.
Stephen, can you just tell us what happened in Yorkshire with the crash on stage one and how you are now, how you've recovered?
It was a big crash in the bunch sprint, so I couldn't avoid it anymore, and I just got stuck between the riders, and I just bruised a little bit my chest, my ribs, and I gave a little bit of problems in the second stage of Yorkshire, but I think after a few days rest and building up slowly to the start now, it's getting better.
So you've got no problems with your breathing now, you're not worried about it affecting you in the first week?
No, I think it's good I took some rest after Yorkshire, and we'll be fine.
Confident, Stephen? Would you sign for the podium place now, or are you here to win?
My mission here is to get on the podium for sure, but hopefully as the first one, we will see.
Hi guys, have a nice Giro to all the fun, for one specially good Giro for my big friend, for my big love, Ciro.
You are listening to the Cycling Podcast at the Giro d'Italia, supported by Science in Sport. Science in Sport, fueled by science.
We heard there from Filippo Pozzato, we'll talk about that in a moment, but before that we heard from or about Science and Sport, our sponsors. Thank you very much indeed to them. A reminder that throughout the Giro and any other time, you can get 20% off Science and Sport products at scienceandsport.com if you enter the code CPOD20 at the checkout, CPOD20 for 20% off. We will be playing some nutrition-themed features throughout the Giro, one a week, so stay tuned for that. But Pozzato there, Daniel, you spoke to him at the presentation, I think. One of the most surprising things that happened today during the stage was that Pozzato favourited a cycling podcast tweet mid-stage.
And as we said, Rich, we would suspect a ruse with any other rider that they had someone set up to tweet during the stage. With Pozzato, it's entirely feasible that he was tweeting during the stage. He was almost tweeting during the presentation yesterday. He was on his phone right until the moment when they got called onto the stage. I did speak to him. He's so pessimistic. He's so pessimistic.
Well, that's based on these last 5 years of results.
It's true. 10 years. 10 years. You know, I said, what? Joking aside, what stage might suit you? And he said, ma means butt in Italian. His favourite word is butt. But, you know, that might be a good stage for me. The stage to Terme Lunigiane in about a week's time or a few days' time. That might be a good one for him, but, and there's always a reason why he can't win.
As we discussed,
he's not a good enough cyclist.
As we discussed on our Giro Friends special, our Giro 100 Friends special, available at cyclepodcast.com if you sign up as a friend. Thank you to all those who have. We discussed a plan that the sponsors might have, reenacting a scene of old in the Giro. Willier Tristina, who's a bike manufacturer who arranged back in the 40s. For fans of the team to stand on a mountain, basically push riders up it, and we thought the same might happen with Pozzato at some point in the Giro.
This is not the cycling Pozzato cast.
No,
I think we need a legitimate reason to mention him from now on.
Just one last thing. He favorited a tweet during the stage. What more justification could there be?
One last thing on crowd involvement and Pozzato. You do often see now, and this is something that he's really whipped up himself on social media, you do often see banners and signs and graffiti on the road to the effect of Filippo, try harder. There are loads of women at the top on climbs, or they don't usually use the word women. Usually something more vulgar than that.
Oh dear. Oh dear. Well, I'm glad I can't understand that particular graffiti. My poor eyes. I'm recreating the age of innocence of childhood with my Panini sticker album. So I'll concentrate on that.
You opened another pack there while we were taking a little break, and you're gonna. This is a way of getting people to carry on listening. You're gonna open your next pack of stickers at the end of the podcast, aren't you?
First impressions of Sardinia, chaps.
Well, I don't think we saw the best of it today, did we? Certainly. I think tomorrow and Sunday hugs the coastline a lot more, doesn't it? And I mean, it's beautiful, but it reminds me of this part of southern Italy we went to last year, Rich, which, you know, it's beautiful, but sort of in a shabby chic kind of way. It's not overly commercialised, it doesn't seem to be. I don't know what Cagliari's like. We'll see that briefly on Sunday, won't we? I think the terrain itself perhaps caught one or two of the riders in the breakout, because Biela Blocchi certainly mentioned that he thought the course was harder than the road profile had led him to believe. Quite a lot of up and down, and generally a cross headwind today. So tomorrow and Sunday, that could mean crosswinds when the race is going down on the coast. So I think maybe we've probably got the best to come.
Food's been all right, hasn't it? So far, food pecorino. You've tried. Sardinia is famous for pecorino. You've tried that?
Very nice. Last night's black pasta with squid was very nice, and the tuna was very nice. Not sure how local the tuna would have been, but it was nice.
Breakfast was dreadful.
Yeah, Italian breakfast is not good, though, is it?
Italian breakfast reminded me of breakfast I had as a student when I didn't have anything in the cupboard or in the fridge.
I thought you were going to say it reminded you of prison breakfast, and you were going to let us into a little secret about your past.
I've never been in prison, but I can imagine that's
there
what breakfast are like.
There is a thing called fette biscottate, which are these like desiccated. It's like desiccated bread, and it's a it is an anomaly. It is to Italian cuisine what Filippo Pozzato is to Italian cycling. No one understands why it's still there.
Is that the stuff in the plastic wrapping?
It is
basically very, very dry biscuit style bread that crumbles as soon as you do anything to it.
It's awful.
Awful stuff.
Well, at least we got into our hotel, got into a hotel, Lionel. I understand that anyone who went to the Bardiani team hotel last night was told that there was no cycling team staying there. They'd battened down the hatches, and everyone was turned away.
A dramatic start to Giro last night. It was interrupted our dinner. The news that two riders at Bardiani had tested positive.
Yeah, one was Stefano Perazzi, king of the mountains at the Giro in 2013. The other was Nicola Ruffoni, who won two stages of the Tour of Croatia last month. And they tested positive for growth hormone-releasing peptides. They're awaiting the B sample, aren't they? And the team is allowed to continue, presumably, until the B samples are tested and the results released. And then, according to the UCI's rules, they should be kicked out of the race because they'll have had two positive tests in a certain period of time. So it's almost like they've had a bit of a stay of execution here. I have to say, whilst it's very disappointing news, it didn't necessarily cause shockwaves, did it? I mean, it wasn't like the great scandals of a decade ago, 2006, 2007. It was a bit sort of Operation Puerto Light, really, wasn't it?
Operation Puerto Zero, I would say. It was obviously dramatic that it happened so close to the team presentation, actually during the team presentation. I think we can hear now from the team press officer Paolo Barbieri, followed by Bruno Reverberi, who's the long-serving manager of the Bardiani team, this morning in Alghero, just talking about some of the timings and some of the circumstances of that news breaking yesterday.
We believed, and we still believe, that if there will be a positive on the sample B, these are just too stupid in a large group, and we strongly believe in our sport project. We ran this project in 2013, and we had no shadows, no any stories on our team. And so we didn't feel that we had to stop the race. We would like to honor the race. So we'll try to do our best on the roads.
Eh beh, per forza, perché poi gli altri non sono mica responsabili della squadra.
The others aren't to blame for any of this, neither the riders nor the team. We've got a team of kids who didn't say a word to each other this morning at breakfast. You start with your morale in your boots when you get two teammates leaving the race with these problems, because you guys can see it too. In the papers, they don't just write Pirazzi, it's Bardiani, with a photo of the whole team, all the guys who have nothing to do with it yet are implicated. Ruffoni and Pirazzi didn't say anything when they left. One of them spoke to his agent, but I'm not going to stand there listening to their excuses or apologies. I know what's what here, more or less. It's not the first time. Even the most glaring crime, they'll never admit it. They'll say it was a dietary supplement, it was this, it was that. All that bullshit that I've heard 1,000 times.
Interesting there, Daniel Bruno Reverberi saying that it's that he doesn't believe in the two riders and that it's not something that has been obviously condoned or happened with the awareness of the team, but it's a team that's got a long history and a pretty checkered history. The team started in 1982. It's had various different names. Ceramiche Panaria at one point, CSF Colnago at another point, now Bardiani. Several high profile or medium profile doping scandals over the years. Maximilian Richesi had a 2-year ban for stanozanol while he was riding for Panaria. He's now, of course, with Quickstep. Emanuele Sella was riding for the team when he tested positive for EPO after winning 3 stages and finishing 6th at the Giro in 2008. Mattia Gavazzi had his problems with cocaine in 2010 with this team. So a lot of incidents where they've been caught on the hop, but perhaps haven't enforced a culture where there's a zero tolerance to doping.
Yeah, it's very similar to Gianni Savio's team, Androni. They always pretty much say the same things when riders do test positive. They say it's nothing to do with them, which, you know, we're perhaps inclined to believe, but it doesn't necessarily excuse them. There is a school of thought in cycling that the team should be completely responsible and that this is the only way to enforce a policy of zero tolerance. I mean, I've spoken to people at La Française des Jeux in particular about this in the past. Fred Grapp, the coach there, is or would be in favour of the whole team losing its licence and the whole team effectively going out of business if any rider test positive there. We talk about an old school mentality, and they do have an old school mentality, I think, Reverberi, but that doesn't mean that he's necessarily encouraging or condoning or endorsing doping. And I would also say that it's an occupational hazard for these teams now, particularly with the World Tour set up the way it is. This is a professional division team, so a second tier team. And they're forced to compete with teams whose budget is 5, 6, 7, 8 times what theirs is. And consequently, they're fishing really in fairly precarious waters when they're looking for signings, I would say. They're looking for bargains. They're looking for riders, often very experienced riders who are perhaps going towards the end of their career. And I think they will probably, every now and again, pick up the odd toxic, the odd contaminated fish. And, you know, Pirazzi, if you look at the way he rides and the way he's ridden over the last few years, it's almost obvious, you would say, that he would be a rider who was at risk. And we've certainly raised eyebrows at some of his performances in the past. So should Reverberi, should they have been aware of those risks? It's very difficult to know. I mean, they know his biological passport information. We don't. And I know that some World Tour teams have looked at Pirazzi and have decided not to sign him, not because his biological passport is suspicious, but because something doesn't necessarily add up. Why is this guy, who seems to be very talented, successful, why has he always been in a second division team?
Why is a 30-year-old Giro stage winner, King of the Mountains, in a second division team? Exactly. I mean, the wider context is 100th Giro, the Giro starting with only 2 Italian teams, potentially only 1 if Bardiani are kicked out. That's a disaster, isn't it? And the teams that were overlooked for a wild card, the Italian teams, must be spitting nails.
Hello, I'm Stefano. I'm a barista at Rafa. I'm from a small town which is in between Modena and Bologna. The rule is no cappuccino after 11, please. In the afternoon you can always have like espresso, something really popular in Italy, which is the corretto. I don't know if you've ever heard. The corretto is like a single shot of espresso with a drop of sambuca. And, you know, it makes more sense in the afternoon, even in the night. yeah, absolutely. Rafa Cycle Club are some of the best equipment, best baristas. Sometimes you can find me as well, so.
The Rafa Cycling Club is the largest global community of its kind. Members share their passion for the road through rides, events, exclusive club kit and racing. Find out more at rafa.cc.
Mia mia ne sciaballo, mamma mia, non forza ci, che manca la gunella per poter comparire.
Douglas Rada, team principal of Team Dimension Data for Quebec. I think it's going to be a big fight between Quintana and Nibali. And I'm thinking Nibali first, Quintana second, and potentially Kreizvijk for third.
Caleb Ewan, and I think Adam Yates will win the Giro.
I'm Hans Ruggenberg from the Dutch newspaper The Telegraaf. I think Bauke Mollema is going to win the Giro Italia.
I am Joe Dombrowski of Cannondale Drapac. And I think that my man Thibaut Pinot is going to win the Giro. Favorite name, favorite rider?
Ryan Gibbons from Team Dimension Data. I think Quintana is a good safe bet. Obviously Nibali last year, but Quintana, I think he's got it this year.
I'm Hugh Caldy from Cannondale Drapac. This year in the Giro, I think Davide Formolo.
I'm Matej Mohoric from Team UAE Fly Emirates, and I think that the winner of the Giro is going to be our captain, Rui Costa.
Hi, I'm Matteo Montaguti of the Team Je Désert La Mondiale. My favorite rider for the Tour of Italy 100th edition is Quintana, but I think also Landa is a good rider for the first place.
Okay, I'm Maximilian Chandri, sport director of BMC Racing Team. The winner of this Giro will be in-house, TJ Van Garderen.
Hi, it's Scott Sunderland here. My favorite, I think I'm going to go with Nibali. He knows what it's about. He's been very quiet, been preparing slowly and confidently. He has a good team around him, and their sole purpose, this whole team, is built around Nibali and winning the 100th Giro. So I'm going to go for him.
Yeah, I'm Daniel Tacklehaman from Team Dimension Data for Quebec. I can't say who is the winner for the Giro, but there's a lot of contenders, great riders for these 3 weeks. So, for my opinion, maybe Quintana.
This is Daan Ockenberg, Dutch journalist of the newspaper Algemeen Dagblad. My overall winner for the 100th Giro will be Michael Landa if he keeps his hand off the barbecue on the first rest day.
Okay, I'm Mark Iselink. I work for Belgian daily newspaper at Laatste Nieuws, and I think Nairo Quintana will win the Giro.
Ryder, could you say I'm Ryder Hazeldal, winner of the 2012 Giro, and the winner of this year's Giro will be?
Oh, I don't do that. No predictions like that.
No predictions?
No, oh, no.
Come on, you're on the other side of the fence now. You're on the other side of the fence. You can pick a name, surely.
No, I know how likely the chances of making the call are, so I never want to put that on.
Okay, if you were going to bet 100 euros of my money, who would you pick?
Nairo.
Reluctantly, but thank you.
Yeah,
thank you. Have a good day.
Look, a safe bet would be to say Quintana, but I think Kruiswijk. I think he would have learned from last year. He's got these fire in the belly to make up for last year. And it would have been interesting to see where he would have finished last year was for that crash.
Can you introduce yourself as well, just say who you are?
Oh, thank you. I wonder myself who I am. No, my name is Rupert Guinness, and I'm Australian, and I'm a cycling journalist for the last 30 years. Bloke trying to do his best.
I have no idea who it's happened. Looked at that at all. I just think on race, so.
All right.
Sorry. Okay. Sorry.
Vittore, 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 vittore.
So we heard there the tips, the nominations, selections from some of the riders, journalists, and other people on the race.
We heard particularly from, well, at the end, we heard from Sam Bennett showing absolutely no interest in...
Well, it's quite typical, isn't it? That's not untypical. But we'll get on to our predictions and forecasts in a moment or two. Before we heard that, the vox pop there, we heard from the wonderful Stefano, the barista at Rafa. Thought that was an appropriate one to play for our first day at the Giro d'Italia. Should just flag up, lots of stuff happening at Rafa, and we're very grateful to them as our title sponsor. Rafa are going to be celebrating and showcasing the Giro throughout the race. The Rafa clubhouses throughout the world hosting a series of special pink-infused rides and events, as well as broadcasting all of the Giro on the big screens. They'll also be paying homage to Il Campionissimo Fausto Coppi with an exclusive set of clothing, launched today, in fact, Friday, and the race's centenary edition with special 100-kilometre celebrity routes and much, much more. Check out rafa.cc for information on everything that's going on with and at Rafa, connected to the Giro and the new range of clothing, paying homage to Fausto Coppi. We will be presenting Pedler de Charme. Got some wonderful new Rafa-designed Pedler de Charme t-shirts. They will be. We are launching a range of clothing in June, actually. That will be available just before the Tour de France to buy. But at the Giro here, we've got some t-shirts that we'll be presenting to the riders. We'll be doing a Pedler de Charme one a week, I think, and we're gonna work out a way to get nominations from you, the listener, and have some kind of vote for your weekly Pedler de Charme. So there should be lots of opportunities to get involved in that. But as I said, we heard there from a few people nominating their favourites. Not universal. I mean, Nairo Quintana is obviously the outstanding favourite, but not the universal favourite. You know, obviously lots can go wrong, as we saw today at the finish. By no means guaranteed that Quintana will win. But Daniel, who do you think is going to win the Giro d'Italia?
Well, I'm hoping that Vincenzo Nibali is going to have a very good Giro d'Italia, because that means that we can bring back the shark's tail.
Aha, uh-huh. We're going to ask you about that.
Yeah, the long lamented shark's tail that was
much
a
maligned.
Yeah, it was kind of much maligned.
No,
by,
I think
by
people
me,
enjoyed it.
Primarily, we're thinking about bringing that back, aren't we?
We are. We're mulling
it
over.
It really depends on listener feedback.
Yeah, let us know if you want the shark's tail, because there's a lot more in
that
book, isn't there?
I mean, we are prepared.
You barely skimmed the surface last year.
There's all sorts, and we saw, obviously...
There's probably another 8 days in it, let's be honest.
Well, exactly, and listeners will remember the escapades of the wolf in the shark's tail. In the extracts from the shark's tail, the wolf being Vincenzo Nibali's father, and I was delighted to note yesterday that Wolfie is still the mascot of the Giro d'Italia, the official mascot. Bahrain Merida have got their own mascot, so there might be a bit of a...
And two buses.
There might be some mascot wars. We haven't really established what the Bahrain Merida's mascot is supposed to be. It's a bird. I don't know exactly what bird it is.
I'd like to see the bird, the Bahrain bird, and the Giro wolf have some kind of face-off in the Dolomites. Let's have that happening in the Dolomites. Talking wolves,
back,
though,
a dog
came into Lucas Perstelberger's press conference this afternoon and was barking.
I thought it was his mascot, but there was barking in the press.
Extraordinary.
There was a barking press conference.
Lionel, flyer.
Good job, Bardiani was Operación Puerto Zero, not the real thing. Yeah. The dog coming to the press conference. That would have
Daniel,
caused all sorts of speculation.
Dog Matt, and whose nickname
dog
is that?
Annoyed at having blood bags named after him. Daniel, have you said who you think is going to win?
No. Right. So who do I think is going to win? I think Quintana's going to win because he was extremely relaxed yesterday. And I think one of the interesting things for me in this Giro is that it has often seemed like the poor relation of the Tour de France. And even if big riders have come, they have come with their B teams, their second string teams. And a lot of the contenders who are here, of the sort of 10, 11, 12 riders that we think are going to win have a chance to win the Giro, a lot of them come with really strong teams. I think Quintana's team is very strong. I think Thibaut Pinot is going to go really well because he's so relaxed here, racing in Italy, away from all of the stresses and all of the expectations that he's under in France. So I think he could finish on the podium. So my podium is going to be Quintana, Nibali, Pinot.
Lionel?
Interesting. I hate I hate predictions, as you know. Yeah. There's so far to go. And I also hate going second or third, because I would have said Quintana as well, but now I feel compelled to say something different.
Open a pack of stickers.
No, we're saving that for the end. The stickers have already spoken, really, haven't they? Pino, but I can't see Pino winning it. I think Nibali is just a little bit over the hill. I think Van Garderen is going to flatter to deceive. I think that somebody like Zakarin will finish a solid top five. And I think Adam Yates will be up there, but will be completely undone by the time trialing. I can't see past Quintana, I'm afraid, but I think it will. The joy is in the journey and finding out how he does it, not necessarily in revealing who the winner is at this point.
Okay, I mean, it's very difficult to see Quintana finishing and not winning it. However, just to be different, I'm going to say Nibali's going to win it. I think Pino and Dumoulin will be on the podium. And I think Bob Jungels will be fourth.
I think Bob Jungels is a future Tour de France winner. This came to me the other day.
Yeah.
A form of a eureka moment.
Yeah.
An epiphany.
I think he's going to do a really good Giro.
What do you think about Team Sky, Rich? Mikel Landa obviously had a terrible season last year. Illness, personal problems. And
as Dan Hackenberg said, if he can stay away from the barbecue on the first rest day, he could have a very good Giro.
It was interesting listening to Matteo Montaguti, who's really got no sort of skin in the game, no reason to tout Mikel Landa as a potential winner in our predictions there. He mentioned Landa and thought that he'd be a real danger. Dario Cioni, the Team Sky director, thinks that Landa. Should we hear from someone at Team Sky? Should we hear from
Geraint Thomas,
not Thomas Geraint, and Dario Cioni, and also
that is banned from the podcast.
Well, we were going to go the other way, and we were going to refer to all the Team Sky riders just by their first the initial of their first name.
I think M will do well. I also think
P should be good in the mountains. V was impressive today.
D and S will do well as well. D is a young rider, and S is also a young rider, but there we are.
And since we've been talking about mascots, as well as hearing from Dario Cioni and Geraint Thomas, we also hear from the Team Sky mascot, King Kenny Elizondo.
My role for sure will be to be a support in the mountain. We have a really hard 3 weeks, really demanding. So this is why I'm here in the race, because we need to be really solid when we lead the mountain and have a lot of guys. So hopefully we will have a GC to defend. Ideally, it will be the case. The world team is based on GC. We are all behind these two guys and two different, really different guys. What is also exciting, like we have Mikel Landa, a bit an artist on a bike, you know. And G, like really, you know, like British schools, you know, really. So it's completely different, and which is nice for us as a team, and also for the spectator to follow. I think if it would be a normal Giro, maybe it will not be good for G, but with a 70k TT, it's great for G. So looking forward.
The reality is they're both really big riders. Obviously, G is coming from a different trajectory, if you Dan Mikel, so G has hit many targets in the way coming into the Giro. Mikel has had a much better winter than usual because he's been illness free. That is something new from it hadn't happened the past two seasons. Had a good start in Valenciana, then maybe didn't progress as we expected in the following step, but I think he showed in Trentino that he was at a pretty good level. And yeah, we're all in to the Giro to get to Milano, and let's see what the road says and let's see what the result says. As I think everyone, the third week is going to be really hard for everyone, even for the most experienced riders, and so it's going to be the same for G, but also for Mikel, Quintana, and Nibali.
No, it's been similar really to last year. Yeah, training wise, I think that the main difference obviously though is just leading the team, you know, and dealing with that pressure and then the day in day out sort of having the guys ride for you and then trying to finish it off, and then obviously over 3 weeks that's prolonged even more, you know. So but yeah, like I say, I'm pretty relaxed and just
really looking forward to this chance now and just get stuck into some good racing.
So that was three of the Team Sky players. I mean, they've got a very interesting hand to play, or two hands to play, with Landa and Geraint Thomas. I mean, you know,
and the king, the king,
the king, King the Kenny king Ellison, yeah,
has been a big hit at Team Sky. I have to tell you, it was a surprising,
a little hit.
It was he's a tiny hit. In fact, you know that Pinarello had to make a bike. He doesn't fit any of their molds. They had to make a bike, especially because
he's got a balance bike, hasn't he?
Yeah, but he's impressed everyone at Team Sky. And we thought it was a strange signing when he went there from Française des Jeux, that he wasn't that kind of the sort of robotic rider who would be on the front setting the pace in the mountains, but apparently he's taken to Team Sky like a duck to water.
Well, first French rider there since the first year of Team Sky, and Nicolas Portal, of
Sylvain
course, is
Calzati.
A DS.
Who can forget Calzati?
Well, Calzati only lasted
Sky
a year, didn't he? And Portal didn't. Did Portal do 2 years as a rider before, or even 1 year? I think so.
But he is sports director now.
He's a sports director now. Yeah, but French riders haven't really fitted in there, but they have got a very. I was speaking to somebody at Team Sky, who was saying that the Mikel Landa's problem is that he's so talented that he doesn't expect he gets a bit freaked out when his legs hurt. Cycling doesn't often hurt his legs normally, and he gets a bit worried when his legs hurt. And other people say to him, that's kind of normal. That's what's supposed to happen.
It's interesting that the psychology of it is. Well, it's probably at least half of it for the top guys when physically they're so evenly matched, really. Just talking to Rod Ellingworth, the Sky race coach, this morning about how Geraint Thomas will approach the race. And last week I was saying about how Thomas's best days are in the first half of the race, and he could get undone by all of the repetitive climbing and repeated aggression in the final week. And Rod Ellingworth kind of said, and this sounds a bit like almost double speak, if Geraint Thomas tries to win the race, he'll certainly lose it. But if he tries to just get on the podium and just hang tough with everyone, he then might create a chance to win. And so he needs to really ride very conservatively, which is really difficult to do, isn't it? Because if you're feeling good early on, say on Etna or Blockhaus or one of those stages, you could just get it wrong. You could put yourself in a position, talking about Geraint Thomas here, where he just shows too much of his hand too early and does too much too early, and the winner will be the rider who's the best in the last week, I would have thought.
And of course Thomas is so inexperienced that doing precisely that, really fighting through and struggling through when he is on a bad day. And I think this is the big doubt that everyone has. He's always sat up in the past when things have not been going well, and he's always saved himself for another day. And you know, it was interesting to hear him talk about the pressure, because you always think that Geraint Thomas, that's not really an issue, and that's not really what's going to cause him any significant problems. In contrast to someone like Thibaut Pinot, who, as we know, is of a fairly sort of nervous disposition as far as stress is concerned, the stress of leading a team. But you always think that that is the least of Geraint Thomas's problems. And Landa, we remember his performance in the Giro a couple of years ago, and how at that point he looked like the best climber in the world, not just in the Giro. And you thought that here was someone who's on the cusp of a massive breakthrough, and he was on the cusp of possibly winning Grand Tours and maybe even dominating a Grand Tour for a few years. He was that good, and then disappeared completely last year for various reasons. So it's going to be interesting. I mean, I still see them as being a rung below Quintana, but it would not surprise me if Mikel Landa did produce the kind of performance that he showed a couple of years ago and won the race.
Well, there's a parallel with Mikel Fiakowski. An awful lot of riders who go to Sky struggle in their first year at Sky, because they do impose a different kind of training on them. There's no question. If you speak to riders, they impose a different kind. I'm not going to say they make them train harder. They just impose a different kind of training on them, and a lot of them struggle. Is there singing going on behind us or something? There's some kind of male chorus.
I hope it's not happy birthday, because we don't have the rights for happy birthday. Famously.
That could ruin us. But yeah, Sky, a lot of riders who go to Sky really do struggle initially. I think Diego Rosa, who's riding here for Team Sky, has struggled to adapt to that. Kwiatkowski struggled last year, but he's flowering this year, the Vanity signing. and Landa perhaps might find his rhythm this year. Who knows? Who knows? He might be due a big performance. Should we wrap things up there, chaps? Lionel, of course you've got the big reveal.
Well, yeah, we're going to open another packet of stickers here to see who tomorrow's winner will be. I got really excited there because there are two Willia Tristina riders in here. I keep calling them Willia Tristina, Willia Selle Italia. So tomorrow's winner, everyone, you can pile on at the bookies with this. Matteo Bussato or Ilya Koshevoy of Willia, Jasper Stuyven of Trek, or Christian Codden of Cannondale. One of those four riders will be tomorrow's stage winner.
I don't think they're even all riding, Lionel.
They're all riding. I've checked. They're all riding.
Are they?
Yeah. That's the second packet of stickers open.
Because this is the problem with the Panini album. It's squads rather than teams.
Yeah, let's not point out the problems at this early point.
But it's going to be great fun. It's going to be great fun. It's going to be a great subplot to what goes on. We're going to wrap things up there. We're going to be back tomorrow. Before we do wrap things up, quick mention of Eurosport. We're hooking up again with Eurosport at the Giro d'Italia. We're going to be giving away actually Eurosport subscriptions to the Eurosport player, so stay tuned for competition details for that. But you can watch the Giro d'Italia live and exclusive on Eurosport and Eurosport player. UK viewers can also watch highlights of each stage at 10 p.m. on free to air channel Quest. There's a special offer for the Eurosport player, £29.99 for an all access pass for the rest of 2017, meaning you can watch all of Eurosport cycling coverage live or on demand. Go to uk.eurosportplayer.com for more details. That's all for today. We're in Sardinia for another couple of days, and we go to Sicily where we take delivery of our Maserati. We're being sponsored by Maserati at the Giro once again, and we're very excited about that. We're bumbling around in a hire car at the moment. Won't reveal the model. It isn't a Fiat 500, which I feared, but it's not much better.
And Rich, just a couple more things. We're hitting Instagram hard at this Giro, the cycling podcast. We're going to be posting stories, pictures. Also, we've got an Italian podcast going live in the next 24 hours. So it's an interview that I did with Mauro Vegni, the director of the Giro d'Italia. About a 25-minute interview. So any Italian speakers out there, anyone who wants to learn Italian, can listen to that. It's a bit of an experiment. We'll see how it goes.
And we should say that also on Monday morning, Kilometre Zero begins. We're doing 3 Kilometre Zeros a week, sponsored by All Press Coffee. Thank you very much indeed to them. A new sponsor for the cycling podcast. Gratefully welcomed aboard. And Monday will be a Kilometre Zero on the islands, but we've got lots of good Kilometre Zeros planned for the rest of the Giro. So for the moment, thank you very much, Lionel.
Thank you, Richard.
Thank you, Daniel.
Thank you.